Okay, this is Stop the Madness, the Hypocrisy of the Vegan. Now, I want to first go on record that I am in no way advocating anything against animal cruelty or anything like that, so don't read that into. This is talking about just the way human nature is on how we like to sometimes say that we're better than other people or we're this when we're doing the exact same thing. You just happen to not view it in the same way. So before you start putting that other person down, look at yourself and see what you do. Now, that's what this article is about. And if you're into polyphasic sleep, then you've heard of Steve Pavlina or Pavlo, or I've never been introduced, so Steve. I was reading one of his articles tonight, and is, you know, I read through him every so often. He's been around for a long time. Anyway, I read the line. He was talking about how he just writes, and, you know, sometimes people get upset with him and all this stuff, and he goes on. And one of the things that he wrote was, "Do I alienate people when I say that torturing and killing defenseless animals for food is wrong? Perhaps. But truth is truth." And immediately, right when I saw that, I just immediately thought, okay, that's, truth is truth, and, you know, everybody, yes, I can understand that. You're taking it, you know, in that one context, and that point of view, and that's fine, understanding that whichever you are. But aren't you doing the same thing? You know, he doesn't even see that. And a lot of people do, and I'm not saying anything against Steve, and, you know, he's a great guy, so, moving along, and then when I said that, and I had this little, you know, vision, like, come to me. It was actually when I was about to, I was writing the article, and I laid down for one of my naps, and I didn't even get a chance to nap, because I don't know if you are familiar with polyphasic sleep. I have a lot of, you know, articles about it, or, you know, the daily stuff. You can think of a thought, and you'll see it, and it'll play out, and it's kind of interesting the way it works. Anyway, so I'm laying here, you know, trying to sleep, and I get to see this whole thing play out, and I'm interviewing this middle-aged guy, and he's a vegan, and he's talking about the health benefits, you know, of eating plants, and the unhealthiness of eating animals and stuff. And, of course, I nod in agreement. I mean, I'm a big advocate of, I wouldn't say perhaps going all vegan or whatever. I'm more organic property. I mean, you know, you give me a non-chemical, you know, pesticide piece of broccoli or something, that's what I'm for. I'm not going to eat one that's full of, like, pesticide versus a piece of meat that's been, you know, that's organic beef, you know. I'm just not going to do that either way. So I'm not really necessarily, I mean, I know the benefits of there, but as long as it doesn't have a bunch of pesticides or anything. So anyway, this vision, he goes on and he's talking about, you know, the benefits, health benefits of vegan. And of course, yes, you know, I agree with that. And then we went outside, you know, this rickety old little house thing. And you could see it was kind of up on kind of a little hillside. And in the distance, you could see barbed wire, like other ranches type stuff. And he had this little trail that led off into a garden area. And so that's where we were headed. And as we're walking down, he points over to his right, and, you know, and I can see this cow. It's all, you know, eating. It's more close up in a dream because it kind of just goes there. But, you know, in this case, it's from a distance. And the man, you know, he shakes his head, and he says, "All those poor creatures, they'll be slaughtered next month." You know, and it is sad. You look at the cow. It's nice, and it's about to be killed here. And it says, as we approach the garden, the distant cow has seen us, and he pokes his head through the barbed wire, you know, to kind of like get closer to us. And the man goes on to say, "We domesticate these creatures, claiming it would be better for them when all they want is freedom." You know, I mean, the cow just doesn't want to be caged in, you know, like we do with so many livestock and animals. We cage them, we put them in this, we put them in that, and everything. And he shakes his head in disgust. And as the ironic part here is, as we reach the garden, he pushes back some seed-bearing vine that's done what? Climbed over his fence to try to get out. You know, all these plants are in the wild and everything, and yet we bring them in and we tame them and we try to domesticate them and we try to whatever. Okay, isn't that what you just did with the cow? You know, what you just did, I don't know about cows running free and everything. You don't really hear about that. Got a bunch of wild cows, yeah. I don't know. But at least you understand what I'm getting at on the point there. Okay. And as we, and he continues and he says, the disgusting part is, and he nods in the direction of the cow, he says, all the hormones and chemicals we subject them to, it's just not right. You know, basically, what do we put them in? You know, they give them, like, not, they're not pesticides, of course. They give them antibiotics to stop, you know, all kinds of stuff and things like that. You know, we give them things to make sure they don't get sick, or inject them with hormones to make them grow unnaturally, do all kinds of stuff to them. And then the man turns to me and says, oh, would you hand me that pesticide, please? Pesticides, what's that? To kill the bugs, to kill everything, whatever, so we can basically keep them away. So, okay, so now we're running, still along the same lines here. And then, after a few moments of silence, the man says, he goes, the worst part now in today's modern science is all this gene splicing, making them bigger, manipulating how God made them. I tell you, it is an affront to God. And I just nod in my vision here. And then the man is now planting some seeds, and so I ask, what are those? He opens his hands to show me, they're soybeans. Soybeans, yeah, that's a real natural product there. That's no gene splicing or nothing. So everything that we've done to manipulate genetics, or things that we've done with the artificial types of insemination with our domesticated animals, we've done a lot more in the plant and everything industry. So everything, both of them, but just one you can hear a lot more of, and the other one is pretty silent. So anyway, that's where my vision ended, and so I came back and I wrote this first part. At that, I wrote the first part. I'd already written the second part, but since I had the vision, I went ahead and wrote this. And the name of the article, of course, was The Hypocrisy of the Vegan. And it starts out with, you know, sometimes I just don't understand people in their ritualistic condemnations. I'm, of course, referring to the many modern-day vegans. I'm not saying all, but many are walking, talking, breathing examples of hypocrisy. And you see this a lot in the way that they go on as I continue. And it says, I do not contest the value and nutritional quality you receive from eating plants and stuff. My concern is, aren't most vegans being hypocrites when they condemn those for torturing and killing defenseless animals? Again, I certainly do not wish to cause harm upon anyone or anything, or advocate such behavior of killing. But where does this torture line reside? Of course, certainly a screaming animal crying out gets our attention. However, what if that animal didn't say a word? What if the pain it experienced was kept internally? Would society stand up to defend this poor animal so fervently? Many would say, of course we would. This poor animal needs our protection. You can see the pain and fear in its eyes. Okay, I'll give you that. But what if it had no eyes? Without all the external indications of pain, suffering, and fear, we as a society assume there must not be any. I speak, of course, for the millions of plants that are slaughtered every day. How someone in casual conversation at the dinner table carves into a poor defensive plant. The plant howls and his pain falls upon deaf ears. All the while the conversation continues as his brutality unfolds, taking the life force from this plant. If it could run away, you know it would. We see this all the time at tables. You know, pass me that salad. You get in there, you jab your fork into the thing and you shove it in your mouth and you're just crunching, chewing, and that thing's alive. It's like, okay, you know, you squish into it and some of it's, you know, wouldn't be, what, the life force, it, you know, it has xylems and phloems that's inside of it, and here you go squishing it out and it's like guts are spilling out everywhere in your mouth. Why aren't you thinking of that? Continuing, one of the ironic comments I have heard from vegans, and I'm sure you have too, is eating animals as dead food, while eating plants is live food. Well, shouldn't that statement alone clue us in to the life and destruction we assault on these plants? If placed outside, many plants will follow the sun for food. If you place an obstacle in the path of the root system of a plant, it will probe until it finds the best route around, as seen in several time-lapse films of this behavior. That statement and that film that I have seen on that has always been with me. I was in a biology class in college, and they were showing this root of this plant was coming down and hit a rock, and it went to the left a little bit, and it came back to the right, and then went back to the left and then went around. I mean, it actually kind of like probed it, and it just kind of blew my mind on what it did. It did all this moving around. Of course, we're talking about it's moving fast because of time lapse, but normal rates we don't even notice because they move too slow for us. Continuing. There's no question about whether plants are alive or not. We all agree they are. However, because their method of communication is alien, are so foreign to us, that their cry for freedom to end this chaos and suffering goes unheard. So the next time you hear someone, usually a vegan, proclaiming proudly how they personally slaughter, maim, torture, and kill offensive plants, and condemn you or anyone for eating something someone killed, I beseech you, in the name of all that is just and pure, to stand up for the plants and proudly call out whoever is spewing forth this bile of hypocritical condemnation with total disregard for their own actions. At least the animal eater doesn't chop off a leg of a live animal, slowly killing it to feed his or her family. So I will end this article with a quote from someone we are all familiar with. And this is, of course, in the Bible. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eyes, but paid no heed to the log in your own? Stop the madness.